Joining us this morning is the Interim Chair, RJMEC, Major General Charles Tai Gitwai. Good morning and welcome to Mirai Breakfast today.
Good morning and good morning, listeners.
It's good to have you here. Briefly share with us the notable so far achievements of the RTGONO in the past 2 years, if there are any.
Thank you very much for inviting me this morning. Today is a very special date. As you know, it is 22/02/2020.
Indeed.
Very special date. First of all, I want to congratulate RTGNU for completing 2 years since it was established. And I also want to mention that, yes, there has been progress, particularly if you look at what we've done or what the agreement has been very much talking about in regard to what should have been done by now. We can say from chapter one, we have seen, of course, the formation of the government. Now the government is in place, the parliament is in place, and even the state government are also in place. And therefore, we've seen there is a complete completion of the appointment of the governors now. There is complete reconstitution of the state. And of course, ministers have been appointed as well. And also there is completion of the appointment of the state legislators at the state level. At chapter two, you know, there is delay, as usual. We've been looking...
As usual.
Well, in a sense that we have been talking about the issue of the unification of forces for a long time since I came here. And we've not seen much of this. This is an area that we think it is very, very important to be looked into. Indeed, we've seen some bit of progress this week, and I hope perhaps there could be some positive reactions going forward. Chapter 3, yes, we've seen a bit of the situation getting... a little bit better in terms of the return of refugees. We've seen an increased return of refugees. However, there is still increased communal fighting, which is creating more problems of IDPs and, of course, training the humanitarian resources. Chapter 4, we've seen a bit of improvement in the area of reorganization and arrangement in the Ministry of Finance. We've seen a bit of reforms going on there, the PMF, we've seen reforms there. But of course, we can see also there's a lot of work that needs to be done there. Transition justice, there's been some progress in the Commission for Truth and Healing. We've seen a bit of work being done there. And what we are now waiting for is funding to commence the works of the Commission. There is not much progress on the Hybrid Court of South Sudan and also on the CRA. Transition justice, yes, and in constitution making process, yes, we, as you know, RJMEC were involved right from the onset in regard to the initial mobilization for the constitution making process, when we actually worked with the Planck, Max Planck Foundation to establish the initial process. Right now, what is happening is that we are waiting for this bill to be enacted in Parliament, constitution-making bill, so that we can progress on the constitution-making. Otherwise, that is so far what has happened, but a lot needs to be done. Really, a lot has not yet been done, and this is actually the bone of contention.
Yes, yeah. Earlier on here in the program, we had some political analysts and civil society activists that we spoke to about some of the progress made, and we asked them to rate in a terms of percentage, how far or how much do you think have been done so far? We're going to give you that opportunity too, who has been mandated to monitor the progress of this implementation process. So far, what do you think? What percentage has been implemented and what hasn't?
Well, I don't want to be speculative in terms of I've no scientific measure really in terms of percentages, but I can say that there is a lot that needs to be done. Critically, there are certain issues that we would have wanted by now. Would have wanted the unification of forces to have been completed by now. Would have wanted the constitution-making process to have been completed by now. Would have wanted the legal framework that is critical going forward. Like, for example, the security bills, the party bills, the national election bills, the constitution bills, and so on and so forth. We would have expected by now all that to have been done. We have by now would have expected to see some kind of conducive environment that is bringing political atmosphere that would bring about the issues of election, but that is still not there. So I would say that yes, there is some progress, but yes, the percentage that is left is critical, and I think that is actually where we feel that a lot of work needs to be done despite the short time that is left.
So ideally, all these things you've mentioned should have been done.
Yes.
But they've not been done. Do you think that this requires more external intervention from bodies like RJMEC and the EGARD and the AU? Do you feel you've done enough, or what more can you do to push to make sure that even in the next remaining time, at least there will be some notable achievements?
Institutions like EGARD and RJMEC are purely, basically, or you can say, institutions that are responsible for monitoring and evaluating. The critical implementers of this agreement is Artigno. And as you know, of course, they signed this agreement. They are responsible to ensure that they actually implement the agreement. We are just an oversight institution that is responsible to monitor and evaluate. We have been very much involved in, if you like, talking to the leadership that is here. As you know, we are supposed to report the leadership on the progress of the agreement. And we have been doing that all the time. EGARD has also been very much involved. I think you recall even EGARD has had some virtual meetings during the COVID time that were very important. Some of these meetings were actually extraordinary meetings to discuss about South Sudan. In June last year, in August last year also, and even the visit by former chair, Her Excellency Dr. Hamdok, who has been coming here several times. I can tell you last year, actually, from June to November, he came about three times on the issue of South Sudan. So pressure has been there. But ultimately, the responsibility over the implementation of the agreement lies under the Artigno.
So what is the Artigno not doing right? You're exerting the pressure, you're giving the recommendations, but then the move is still very slow, and it gets slower as the period goes.
Some of the issues that have been brought to us are in regard to, there is issues of the financial problems of lack of finance. That's one issue that's always been advanced to us. Of course, we know that there's been a bit of challenges of the political will in terms of really the willingness and the ability to have the parties have consensus, cooperate, and be able to come up with compromises that can actually be able to, be able to resolve some of the issues that they have been having. That's a challenge that we've been having. I think there's a lot of cooperation that is required by the parties, so that they can actually focus and understand that this agreement they have signed and they committed themselves to ensuring that they implement this agreement. And of course, we need to know where we are coming from. Where are we coming from? From 2013, the problems that we have had, all the way coming down to the problems of 2016. Now we can say from 2016 coming this way, 2018 coming this way, we can see some element of some progress in terms of peace. And what we need to do is to build on that. And what we have achieved, in my view, is important that we build on it. We cannot say that we have not moved somewhere. We have moved somewhere, but then we need to build it. I understand, of course, there are issues of the challenges that we always have been informed about. But I want to tell you that up to now, by last week when I held the plenary meeting on 10th of February, the Minister Lomuro, who is responsible for Artigno in RJMEC meeting, he stated clearly that he's going to bring us a roadmap. A roadmap, because agreement is already roadmap that is there. But he is going to give us the strategy that they are going to work upon to ensure that at least the remaining part of the transition period, they are able to implement what is not yet implemented.
It's only 1 year now that is left, according to the period that was given to this revitalized peace agreement. Now, with all that you have mentioned, that needed to have been done already, that have not been done. You said the Cabinet Affairs Minister said there will be a roadmap now to at least finish this within the 1 year. Do you think what they haven't done in 2 years can be done in 1 year?
I would perhaps expect the minister to come up with a strategy, because they are aware of what they have done for the last 2 years. They know that it is 1 year that is left. Let us wait and see what the strategy that is going to bring about. Well, the agreement allows Article 8.4. They are basically the agreement allows the parties to agree on the way forward. They can agree to have more time if they want, as long as they justify and convince the parliament, convince the RJMEC members, convince the cabinet itself, if it votes, then it is allowed. But of course, the important thing is that really the expectations one that by this time would be very far. Yeah.
All right. If you just join us, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show, of course, where the big conversation begins every morning. We have our guest here this morning. He's the interim chair of RGMEC. And we're discussing 2 years down the road, what have been done and what needs to be done. Now, many critics say the agreement was very unrealistic in terms of timelines. How do you react to that?
Well, the agreement was signed by the parties. And I don't think they were cajoled to sign this agreement. I believe they had assessed the timeline versus what they were signing. I know I'm not ignorant of the fact that there could have been challenges at the implementation level. But ideally, what there is that we as much as we know there are challenges, we also think that there is a need to see more focused implementation that is really not looking like some things can be resolved. I believe, for example, there could be concurrent activities that can be done. You don't have to be sequential. You can have concurrent activities. You can, for example, be flexible on a TNLA calendar. You don't have to use a traditional calendar that has been always used by an elected parliament. This is not an elected parliament. This is a nominated parliament. So there's some flexibilities that can be done. And despite the challenges, I think what is important is to have to remain focused on the whole process, to understand that this is a very important document, that agreement that needs to be implemented, to understand that every South Sudanese expects this agreement to be implemented, to understand where we are coming from, the challenges that we have faced to be here, and by the time we agree to calm down and agree on this and sign this agreement was because we understand where we are coming from. And since we identify these are the challenges that has kept us divided, there are very many issues that we can consider, and we need to look at the advantages of our similarities rather than our differences, because our similarities are much more than our differences, and we can navigate and be able to resolve that.
Great. And many are beginning to think that the Artigono, I mean those who are right now in positions, are basically deliberately trying to prolong the process so that election does not happen, so they can keep on staying in power. You have met these people and have meetings with them on many occasions, I believe. Do you see the political will to implement the peace agreement as it is, or there is a delaying tactics that the citizens have started to talk about?
I think it's important also to appreciate, as much as we have seen, the progress that has been there. Let us also not just be on the punching all the time. There is some element of some progress, yes, but there is still an element of some delay, yes. But I think, as I have told you, if you listen to the leadership here, there are some issues, like, for example, of interpretation and also implementation. There's what is theoretically in the document, and there is also when it comes to implementing, in terms of interpreting and actually getting it done. The challenges that have always been brought about is finance challenges. Of course, the challenges of negotiating and agreeing, as I have told you before. And also the fact that we are talking about Aratigini. So if you say there is deliberate delay, then probably you are talking about the entire leadership, which is Aratigini. And Aratigini is all the parties. And since all the parties are part of the whole, I would want to believe that as much as there are these delays, the parties need to really rethink that for how long can you continue really extending, if you're talking about extending. I think we already had 6 months of extension, 100 days of extension. For how long can you proceed this way? And what is important is to understand that this country needs to move forward. And if this agreement is the creature that actually establishes this government, it is important that the Artigini understands that it was established as a transition government to implement this agreement. And once they have set the institutions that are appropriate, having considered all the challenges that put them in the situation they were in, then we go for elections. And basically, that should be it. I don't see why there should be another issue.
Great. Mm. Talking about the election, there is a question coming here and saying, as per the agreement, when are we supposed to conduct election? Is it this year, 2022, or 2023? Because there seems to be a kind of misinformation on the election dates particularly.
Well, the RTGNU was instituted or established on 22nd of February 2020. That is about exactly 2 years today.
Mm-hmm.
And the RTGNU was supposed to go for that 6 months. By that 6 months, it would be the 22nd of February 2023. That's basically the date that was the end of the transition period.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, there are all these things should have been done. And the agreement says that 60 days, that is 2 months before the end, before 22nd of February 2023, 60 days, that's 2 months, election should be held. So,
by December.
You're talking about December.
Mm-hmm.
And the agreement also says that 6 months before elections, all the voters register should be in the hands of the National Election Commission offices. Now, everything having been completed,
mm-hmm.
of course, that means constitution having been completed, election law having been completed, unification of votes have been completed. Of course, when you talk about registration of voters, register in the office of the National Election Commission, it means that voters have been registered. That mm-hmm. means the
census, or even
constituency delimitation have mm-hmm. been completed. Refugees perhaps have returned because they were registered as voters. All those processes to have been completed. That means by June this year. Mm-hmm. It's basically what it means. So all that has not happened. And that is why practically it looks virtually difficult to understand mm-hmm. whether this is going to be possible within the time frame that is left.
Yes, and as JEMEX now, what are your thoughts on this election?
Well, we think that we wait for Honorable Omuro's roadmap to tell us, because we are the ones who actually provoked this during our plenary meeting, that we wanted the government to explain to us what are you going to do based on the time that is left. So we are hoping that when he tapers this roadmap, and he's told us within a very short time he will to taper. Indeed, we are also probably going to have an extraordinary RJMEC plenary meeting to be able to receive this information, then we shall now be able to see what RTGNU, who are implementers of this agreement, have decided on the way forward. Remember, it is the parties that are supposed to decide.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the parties have the sole responsibility of decide. As long as all the parties agree, they will decide. If they want to do it within the time frame, which I believe it's difficult, sincerely speaking, if they want to buy extra time, it is provided for in the agreement, but they have to convince even you and the South Sudanese that really, if we have to move to have any extension, then we have to have appropriate scheme of work so that we are able to use exactly what are we going to achieve this month, this month, this month. So at least we don't have endless extensions, if any.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what you've just said, what would you be your recommendations, though, aside from the roadmap?
I don't want to speculate. Let me first of all get the roadmap from the government, because I'm not an implementer,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to preempt anything. Let us see what they have said and what they have agreed. I believe that they are reasonable enough. They are rational human beings. They understand the country very well. They know that they are responsible for the leadership of this country. They know the expectations of the South Sudanese. They know where we are, and I'm hoping that we are going to get something that is appropriate and acceptable.
RJMEC has been, of course, the body tasked with monitoring the implementation process. The implementation process of this peace agreement. Now, when it looks, of course, with the parties who are in this Artigono, we've seen quite a number of defections over, the time. People defect to this party, this past. How is that affecting the implementation process, the smooth implementation process of this peace agreement?
We have been very articulate on this point right from the onset under Article 2.1.8. It is very clear that any movement of troops, either moving from one party to the other, either from IU to SSPDF or SSPDF to IU, is not provided for in the agreement, because under Article 2.1.8 is actually recruitment, because you are increasing your forces. Ideally, forces were not supposed to have moved from one to, from one place to the other. And I said this even last time I was here, that actually the delay of the implementation of the transition security arrangement has been the reason why all this movement has occurred. Because if we by now would have unified forces, do you know unification was actually a pre-transition task? So that means the first 6 months of pre-transition, this would have happened. So we would not be having all these problems. Because the idea was that these soldiers come together, let us have a one military, let us train them to be one, let these soldiers be loyal to the country and to the constitution, and let us all focus that we are all here for the purpose of peace and security of the country. There is no need of troops being separate, loyalty to different people, because ideally, in a country, forces are loyal to the country, to the constitution, under one commander-in-chief. So this should have been understood right from the onset. If that particular willpower or political will or compromise or understanding was there from the onset, and this is the kind of thing that we are looking for, hoping that at least we shall get there.
So are these parties violating the peace agreement by accepting these defectors to their camp, or is that something that can be considered as a violation?
Well, what we have done is that we have always been able to speak to these parties. We've written to them. We have also told them this is not agreeable. This is not in line with what the agreement has envisaged. Some of the reaction we have had is that, we are moving from this party and moving to the other party. We have moved from this party, so we are outside the agreement, and we have weapons. So where do we go? Do we become an odd-out group, or how do we join the agreement? So if we join another group that is in the agreement, then we have come back to the agreement. Mm-hmm. But all these are basically justifications for wrong reasons. Right from the onset, we believe that the issue of movement of forces is not within the agreement requirement. It's a violation, really, because that's not what was envisaged right from the onset. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for speaking to us. What would be your final remark? I mean, it's been 2 years, 1 year left.
Well, I would like to say, as I said last time, that we need to see a changed attitude and a changed approach in regard to the implementation of this agreement going forward. We'd like to be able to focus that this agreement is very important, and the time that we came to the parties came to assign this agreement, it's because they had gone through a lot of processes and challenges. And I think it is important that we don't forget where we are coming from. Let us see where have we come from, where have we now. And I've always said from 2018, 2022, been much more peaceful than before. So let us build on this peace that we have. Let us build on what we have. Let us not throw this very, very noble situation that we are in now. So it is important that the parties really think seriously, and as we now develop this roadmap that is being developed by Honorable Lomuro, let us be able to come up with real solutions on how we are going to go forward and implement this agreement going forward. To me, I don't think there is any way out except to implement this agreement to the letter and spirit. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right,
very
thank
much.
You. Thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. We really do appreciate your time.
Thank you.